Oh,
Oh,
wow. Just another
wow.
laser comb today.
So
Geez, wait, what was it? Epi 85?
it's a comb with lasers
And a picture, if you will, that's right, a comb, if you will, it's a
Oh.
comb, and it shoots lasers. Wow.
Oh, lasers from the bristles. What's a bristle? Oh, that's
Chaos theory, right? That's the bottom of
big questions asked around here. Yes.
Big questions, little answers, they say. Mr. Jones, to episode 83 of the Laser Comb podcast. Yes, your favorite podcast where two kids comb through classic television with und fine tooth laser. I am Neil von Siege, and I am being joined by Unt Uber. Wait, no, Neil von Cal, and I am joined by. I've ruined this whole thing. Okay. I'm Neo Cal. I'm joined by Christopher Siege. Booyah, 83 of the Laser Comb podcast. Yeah, how's it going, Siege? I couldn't do it.
Yes, the Laser Comb podcast. It's a show you listen to. You put earbuds in your ear, and wow, and that's
And you
you
market it and you patent it and
you
well, there it is.
you listen to people talk, and they make jokes, and well, there it is.
For some reason, we really like Jeff Goldblum.
Podcast, a cast of the pod people, casting roles for the so-called pod people. Yes.
What's next, huh? The podcast from Wales doing a podcast.
Yes, anyway, I am Christopher Siege. This is episode 83 of the Laser Comb podcast, and this week we are talking about one of Cal's picks. Yes.
Yes. So Siege put on those very cool shades, and I reached over and I have I do some live action things on Twitch sometime, and I reached over and grabbed these. I
Yep.
there's these own
The Nazi
I in,
scientist shades.
immediately become a Nazi scientist when I wear these, which is a very odd juxtaposition against the tie-dye too much Energon shirt I'm
See,
wearing.
not just any Nazi scientist. You look like a Nazi scientist who is like experimenting with like interdimensional travel.
Oh, I look like a Nazi scientist who knows that Hellboy exists or was involved in summoning him. Right? Like an occult Nazi scientist. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. The front even like opens up. These are for reading and these are for scientisting.
Oh, stand back. I am about to engage the portal.
I'm about to engage the portal. You've seen Stranger Things, yeah? But have you seen Nazi things? Okay. I bet you did not see this coming.
Have you not see these
Things.
things?
See, the German jokes write themselves. Da? Wait, no, da is Russian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ja? Za. It's okay to make fun of Nazis.
Jawohl.
I don't like making fun of Germans. I'm sure we got tons of German listeners. Wait a second. Are they making fun of us?
I have seen the geographic data. No, we don't.
No. I try to listen to them, but they laugh at themselves too much. But they are not even funny. So why did they go on? Well, there it is. Yeah, so we're not actually covering. I'm sure that there's a TV show or an animated Hellboy out there somewhere. But no, we're covering King of the Hill, episode 95, actually.
Mr. Surfer, have you ever considered propane as an alternative energy source for that board of yours? With a little retooling, I could get it to work. Tell you what I'm going to do. Being that you're my neighbor and I like you, I'm going to give you the new neighbor discount and a free t-shirt. So what do you say?
Take a ride on the Cosmic Tide on an all-new Silver Surfer next as Fox Kids Heads for the Hills continues.
Just think, with repeat business like that, I could eventually be supplying propane galaxy-wide.
Indeed. There's some animated movies out there.
Really? Yeah. Wait, I think I've seen one. Wait, I might have seen one years ago. Maybe it was forgettable and I forgot. Maybe. But yeah, 95, which is of King of the Hill, which is my choice.
Windows 95.
Windows 95. And it's season 5, episode 10. Mm. Which is called, I had it here, Hank and the Glass Elevator.
When did it originally air? Taking the shades off for a moment.
King of the Hill.
It originally aired on... Oh, this is season 5, episode 11.
Oh, it's Hank. Episode 11.
Hank and the Great Glass Elevator, which originally aired on February 11th, 2001.
Hank and the Great Glass Elevator.
I just turned 16. February 11,
2001.
I was newly 16 at the time.
Oh, yeah. And wow, the show went on a long time. But yeah. There's not a Nazi scientist in this episode. I just put those shades on and ran with it. This episode. So
we bring the comedy here.
What is King of the
at Lasercomb Productions?
What is King of the Hill? Okay, so King of the Hill is a show that I think is funnier the older I get. When I was a kid, I found the humor very dry. I didn't understand it. And again, there are hit or miss episodes as an adult. It's not like it's perfect, but it did go on for 13 seasons for a reason. A lot of people liked it. And when I was a kid, it was a show that I kind of like watched if it was just on.
Right.
What about you?
Never watched it. Remember seeing commercials for it, but yeah, King of the Hill was created by Mike Judge, who beyond King of the Hill, I'm actually quite a big fan of. He wrote and directed the movies Office Space and Idiocracy, which I really, really like. He wrote and directed, or he created Silicon Valley, which is a show that we covered here on the Lasercomb podcast that I am also a huge fan of. But for whatever reason, I just never got into King of the Hill.
Just had other things to watch. The humor is very deadpan and dry.
Yeah, which normally I'm a fan of, but...
It could just be, too, like, you kind of got, like, rednecky family.
Right.
Can't really vibe at the expense of the jokes in the show. And well, I get that.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily true, because one of the reasons why I latched on to Trailer Park Boys, which is another show that we should probably cover on here.
I'm surprised we haven't. Yeah. We haven't at all.
Trailer Park Boys. Also, Letterkenny has ended now. We can cover it on the show. We can cover it on this podcast. It just ended with its 11th season. But Trailer Park Boys, one of the reasons why I latched on to it was because I actually like really vibed with a lot of the like low class like antics that the dudes got up to. I'm like, yeah.
I either was doing that
or I knew people who were doing shit like that.
Yeah, that's fair. Same. Right. Yeah, we need to do Trailer Park Boys. God damn. There's a lot of Trailer Park Boys too.
There is.
Wasn't it picked up?
It was picked up a couple times
by Netflix. Yeah. Like that show's been going on forever too. There's a bunch of movies.
Boys. Let's see if it's
a Napoleon Dynamite cartoon
going. Oh no. Okay. Trailer Park Boys has officially ended now.
Officially.
Both runs of it have ended. Yeah. It ran from 2001 to 2008, and then Netflix picked it up, and it ran from 2014 to 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. Fuck it. Let's do Trailer Park Boys next time on the next episode. We'll do that.
We usually decide at the end, but
we'll do that and then Letterkenny.
There we go. Trailer Park Boys, Letterkenny. Perfect. Way to round out the... It's redneck month here, folks. I kind of like clump in like Trailer Park. Man, I grew up in a small trailer park in the mainland too. And so I wonder, like I have friends that didn't, like middle class friends that really like Trailer Park Boys too.
Right.
But I grew up and King of the Hill is something that I feel like a lot of my friends liked a lot more than me. But as I got older, I was a big fan of it. Particularly it did something a little different. It broke the formula, not by much. It broke the formula of the main father figure in these cartoon sitcoms being the stupidest character. And instead, all of Hank's friends are way worse than him, but in like different ways. And in this episode, it is his friend Bill Dribbles, Bill Dotrieve, birthday.
One thing I will say is that I really liked the gag that Hank takes his job as like the assistant manager like so seriously.
Won't
leave 10 minutes early.
It opens with a gag and they come to pick up Hank from work. And they're like, oh, you agreed to be my date if I didn't have a date for my birthday. And Hank's immediately like, no, I didn't. I agreed to go to Atlanta City with you for your birthday. I didn't say I was going to go on any dates. He just takes everything like very literally.
Yeah.
And indeed, it was like, come on, get in. And he's like, what kind of hooligan do you take me for? I get off at 5 p.m. Not at 4:50.
Not at 4:50. And then we see like a very like quick like time lapse of him like sitting at his desk at 4:50.
Doing nothing.
And then at 5 o'clock, he's like, okay, like, time to clock out.
And at 5:01, he like looks at the clock and he just gets up and then like leaves.
Yeah.
No phone call. He's not doing any work. He's just like sitting there and they're all like waiting for him. So that would have went over my head as a kid.
I found that absolutely fucking hysterical because I've known people like that in my
life. No one else is there too.
Yeah.
We I love that shit. And we cut to, I totally know people like that too.
Yeah.
People that would be all like, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, you're fired. I was like, okay, buddy. We cut to his family.
Well,
I
guess, if you're leaving early, then then you might as well be one of them queers.
I guess.
Because, yeah.
Do I look like a liberal?
Do I look like a liberal?
I am being paid until 5, and I'm going to stay until 5. Meanwhile, his boss probably wouldn't give a fucking shit.
Yeah.
We cut to his family. Luan, that's his niece.
His boss has probably already left early.
Oh, indeed. He's the only one there, so yeah. His boss isn't there. And his family, they're having a pool party and such. And or they're at a neighbor's or something like that. And his wife, Peggy, and his son, Bobby, they are eating burgers. And Peggy's like, oh, my God, this is the most delicious burger I've ever had.
Yeah.
And Bobby's like, now, Mom, I don't know if it's the best burger I've ever had. And then she shoves it in his mouth and he's like, oh, my God. and they find out that Luann's cooking on charcoal.
Yeah.
And Hank Hill is assistant manager of Strickland Propane. And as everybody knows, if they only know one thing, two things about Hank Hill, it's that he sells propane and propane accessories.
So, you ever had a burger that's been cooked on a charcoal grill before?
I don't know.
It's better. It's way better.
I presume. I can
There's
presume.
So much more flavor in a charcoal.
Well, there we go. Grilled. We have proof.
There's so much more flavor in a.
Is there anything better than a clean burning propane? So they go to whatever like party hotel that they're like going to. Dale immediately starts making a big stink. Now, folks, I worked at a fancy hotel and I could immediately tell this motherfucker was trying to like make a like exaggerate and make it seem. What did he say? He said something like, oh, you've offended my religion. And blah, blah, blah. And so they get a free upgrade.
Right.
And Hank is like, Hank insists on
having his own room still.
He's like, I'll have my own room and I'll have the room that I paid for. So he has his own room. But the others are in like a deluxe like room. And they're like making like pillow forts or furniture forts or something. I don't know. Meanwhile, Peggy and Bobby decide to go to Megalomart, which is the giant soulless, it's the superstore of Arlen, Texas. Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. There's not an Arlen, Texas in real life, but there's an Arlington, I think.
Arlington? Yeah, that's a town in Texas. Yeah.
So, like, I guess this is, like, they're not Costco, but, like, they're... almost like a Canadian Tire Megalomart or no, I guess it could be like a Costco or like a Walmart or I'm not quite sure.
American giant. Listeners, tell us what this store is comparable to.
Tell us to what it's comparable to, like gigantic warehouse that puts all the mom and pop shops out of business.
Yeah. Tell us stupid Canadians what this retail chain is like.
It's supposed to be. Yeah. And because we say the real Canadian superstore, I cringe every time I say the full name of that, which is a real place. And that's like a giant mart here.
I actually went to a real Canadian superstore for the first time in a very long time a couple days ago.
Was it real?
It was real.
The name Real Canadian Superstore implies that there's a fake Canadian superstore out there somewhere, and I've yet to find it. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
No, there was nothing really to that.
You just went to one.
I just went to one. It was at the behest of my a new lady friend in my life who wanted me who wanted me to go shopping with her.
Did you find President's Choice 12 pack
everywhere?
$12.99
everywhere. President's Choice, everything. Actually, I did buy something when I was there, though. I found a Batmobile Hot Wheels.
That's kind of cool.
Which I'm not a Hot Wheels collector or anything, but like any time I randomly encounter a Hot Wheels Batmobile, I'm like, I'm gonna buy that. It's only $2.
Oh yeah, I'll lose it and buy another one in a few years. But
I have like 6 of them now.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
are they the same one?
No.
Oh, they're different ones.
Always buy different ones.
Oh, okay.
I have the Tim Burton Batmobile. I have the Batman Arkham Asylum Batmobile. I have the 60s.
Oh, that's cool.
I have the 60s Batman TV show.
So you got like a little, specifically when it comes to Hot Wheels, you just buy the Batmobiles.
Yeah.
Nice. When I was a kid, I had like over 100. Like not excessive, but like a lot more than a random normal kid. I loved Hot Wheels. I liked Micro Machines too.
Mm.
Did you ever have some of the ones that like change color in water?
I did, yeah.
Everyone had one of those, yeah. At least one.
Interesting factoid that I have absolutely never shared on any podcast we've ever recorded, but when I was about a year and a half or 2 years old, I had a grand mal seizure. And was in a coma for several days.
And, oh, shit.
Yeah. And I suffered brain damage as a result. And I actually didn't talk at all for about 2 years afterward. But the first time I started speaking again was because I had taken a bunch of my Hot Wheels cars and I had spelled my name out with them on the living room floor. This is very autistic brain shit. I had spelled my name out with Hot Wheels cars and I was counting out loud how many cars it took to spell my name.
Your full name, Christopher?
Yeah.
How old were you?
Like 4.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was kind of a lapse to talking and you started talking a little bit later, but what, the first thing they remember is you counting the number of cars it took.
This was apparently the first time I had ever said anything out loud since my seizure and coma.
Oh shit.
And so, yeah. I had spelled my name out on like the living room floor with Hot Wheels cars. And I was counting how many cars it took.
I'm glad that you pointed out that's very autistically coded so that I didn't have to make a joke about it. I had no idea.
My autism brain is very much something that I kind of just own at this point, which honestly was something that I had never even considered before until you pointed it out to me. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And so I started reading up about it. I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and not in an insulting way.
No, not at all.
It wasn't like, what are you, a fucking... What are you?
What am I? A fucking magician, man.
That's just our code word now. But no, I can't remember how it like had come up. But yeah, I like mentioned it or like whatever. And yeah, I'm glad that you like kind of went off and like read about it or watched something about it. And it's one of those things where when I was younger, I like took an online little quiz. And I was like, got higher than I expected. Oh, well. And then like never thought about it again until like my 30s. Yeah. Never thought about like neurodivergence or any of that. I was like, well, explains a lot, but here we are.
I was telling a couple of coworkers about this like maybe a month or so ago. And their initial reaction was like, yeah, that tracks.
And we know.
Like, I'm like, oh, okay.
Cool.
I'm like, okay, so it's been like blatantly obvious to everyone in my life except me until it was like actively pointed out.
Why did anyone tell me?
It's because I'm a fucking magician, man.
I don't even know how we
I don't
the fuck were we covering that. Whatever, it's lost in the laser comb. Inside jokes forever. But
yes, anyway, coma, big seizure as a toddler, coma, silent for a couple of years. First time talking was me counting Hot Wheels.
Thanks. Thank you, Superstore. The real Canadian Superstore for helping Christopher get back on the, or was it no? Specifically Micro Machines or
Hot Wheels?
Hot Wheels. Thank you, Hot Wheels, for getting
Christopher another fun back. Fact is my first job actually was at Superstore as a janitor there.
When I know, like, so many 17. People whose first jobs, you're like the fifth person I know whose like first jobs were at the real Canadian Superstore.
Yeah, back, and this was the early 2000s, and back then they had like their price checkers and like their courtesy clerks basically wore rollerblades, and they would rollerblade around the store.
I don't know if holy shit, excuse me folks, I don't know if there's an American equivalent, but like it was wild. I don't know if they still do this.
That is the most fucking 2002 thing that right? imaginable. So it's like courtesy clerks at a grocery store whose job it is to like do price checks and things like that. They would fucking rollerblade through the store.
Which totally probably wouldn't track now.
No, no way. Not at all.
Right?
I'm sure it stopped.
It was just a normal thing.
So many customers were getting injured by like
dudes just fucking ripping it.
Like dipshit teenagers on rollerblades
going like 40k down the and the aisles are like half a kilometer long, right? Like these places are huge.
Yeah, they're huge. Like Costco sized.
Yeah, and so when there are price checkers, it's like, well, do you want to get there in like 30 seconds or do you want to get there in 3 minutes? Like, it's fucking huge, right? So yeah, the price checkers had rollerblades. Oh, I completely forgot about that, man. And then as soon as you mentioned it, I was like, oh, fuck yeah.
See, the more
picture, elegant, if you will, Christopher, 17. Go ahead, sorry.
Is people who do those kind of jobs, instead of putting them on rollerblades and getting them to like zip around the store, give them radios so they can just radio the information to the cashier.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense, huh?
Yeah.
And then you just go blah, 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 like price check, blah, blah, blah. And then whoever's closest goes and does that. Or they call someone specifically whose section that is.
Yep.
Yeah. You're right. And indeed. It does make more sense.
And indeed, that is how it is done nowadays.
That is such an early 2000s thing. Picture, if you will, folks, Christopher. Christopher Siege, 17, just fucking hauling ass down a big megalomart. Hey, those prices aren't going to check themselves. Oh. Wow. And that's it. That's what this episode's about now. we can cover there's a few bases throughout the episode. What were we?
There are
good jokes in this.
There's a really sweet romance between Hank's buddy whose birthday it is, Bill, and
the governor of Texas.
Former governor of Texas. Yeah.
So
I actually found their romance like quite sweet and cute.
I didn't know the show had that in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's not what I was expecting, honestly.
So there's some B plots going on in here, and Peggy and Bobby end up buying a charcoal grill and eating burgers almost like out in an abandoned drive-in theater. Almost like homeless people like huddled around like a bin fire or something, and they're crouching like being sneaky. Enjoying these like burgers. Presumably they're going to return it before like Hank comes back. But what ends up happening is the side plot is Hank's friends guilt trip Hank into mooning all the the different people at the different levels of this really tall hotel because the elevator's glass and it goes in the middle facing inwards. He had bailed. He's always the curmudgeon. He's the party pooper. And he bailed on them in high school when they all mooned someone. But they trick him and Hank's the only one who does it.
Yeah. They make it sound like it's going to be a thing where like they all moon everyone. But then when Hank goes and does it, like none of the others do. So he ends up like inadvertently like mooning the former governor of Texas.
And well, wouldn't you know it, security finds out who it is and goes and knocks on their door.
I think her name was Ann Richards, Governor Richards.
Yeah, let's say that, Governor Richards, yeah.
Yeah.
Bill takes the fall for it, and he's like, no, it was me. And it's like, okay, come with us. And he's like, oh, Bill, don't be stupid. And he's like, I'll take the fall, Hank. I don't have as far to fall. And I'm like, oh. Oh, she's like the pathetic, like he's been divorced like 10 years ago. And
I'm more of a loser than you are. OK, yeah,
right. Man, I immediately feel for him.
People expect this of me, damn it.
And he goes right and he goes and he meets him. But he's ex army. So he goes and kind of like salutes and he's like, Governor Richards, like, ma'am, I'm like Lieutenant Dotrieve, like reporting or like whatever.
Lieutenant Dan,
ice cream, Lieutenant Dan. Question, not okay to mock people with mental illness. Is it okay to do a Forrest Gump impression? Because it's a character in a movie.
Well, my mama always said that life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. See, I feel like Tom
Hanks... You have legs, Lieutenant Dan!
See, I feel like nowadays, like Tom Hanks playing a dude who is like, for lack of a better word, rotundo.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a magician, yeah.
He's a magician. I feel like that would not go over well anymore.
No. And again, award winning across the board.
Yeah.
Like,
and that movie is fucking great.
It's like, hype. It's hype as shit.
Forrest Gump's a great movie.
But it was different times, and don't think
1994. The world was different in 1994 than it was in 2024.
Truly, folks. 30 years ago. Yeah. But where the heck were we? They hit it off. And they're cute. It's cute. They're like kind of dating.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, when they go back home, Hank goes outside to cook his steaks. And he cooks his family steaks and mashed potatoes and stuff. And Peggy and Bobby look a little disappointed. They're like playing with their food. They kind of look sad because for the first time in their lives, they've experienced the joy of charcoal meat, charcoal cooking.
But this is how I always cook our steaks.
And Peggy's like, yeah. Or Bobby's like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, holy fuck, dude, that's brutal. And anyways,
so I can't emphasize this enough. Like, honestly, though, like charcoal barbecued meat,
I believe
is
it
significantly better
after seeing their reaction and your testimony. I believe it. So all four, the gang like to hang out in front, like out on the street. And they just drink beer and they shoot the shit and they say, yep.
Is the limo guy?
The one
he doesn't say a goddamn word in this episode.
He's Boomhauer. And he don't talk like this and, you know, real fast talker. And then nobody understand him except Hank. Only his friends understand Boomhauer. And he either doesn't talk or he talks a lot and he talks extremely fast. And he talks like that. And I'll go on, and then wow, and there's a snake, and tell you what. I tried to cross Boomhauer with Jeff Goldblum. It didn't work.
Oh.
Tell you what. Yes, Hotel, the governor, Ann Richards.
Four of us all standing here in their fence behind us.
Drinking a cheap Texan beer. And we cut back to Bill, and he's on a date because much to the absolute fucking bewilderment of Hank Boomhauer and Dale, Bill's getting picked up in a limo by Governor Richards. And they're just like, what the fuck? And there's that one point, I can't remember when, but somebody says, what was it? Somebody said, well, because he's like, oh, I have a date with the governor tonight. I better go shower. And they're like, well, at least she's getting him to shower. So there's that.
No, a man who otherwise, when he's about to go on a, what do you call it, a date with a attractive older woman, you see, who otherwise had not, you know, bathed, stepped into a bathtub with a, you know, water shooting down from the faucet, like ugh.
Like oh I'm like, wet. Ugh.
And who can say, you know,
Irish Spring.
head and shoulders.
So they go to some fancy ball, and hey, I think she actually likes him for who he is. And indeed, later on, she says,
I know, I was disappointed that he fucked this up.
Okay, so let's talk. They're at a fancy, like a whole bunch of politicians, rich people, they're at a fancy dinner speaking, like charity event or something, right? And she's not embarrassed by him. He's wearing his like uniform. He's not in the army. He's been like discharged like years and years ago. Well, wouldn't you fucking know it? His ex is there. Lorraine, I think.
Yeah.
And right before Lorraine, he meets her.
Lenore.
I think there it's we go. Lenore. It's Lenore. Yeah. Wouldn't you know it? He's like, well, that's the thing. I've always been, when they're on a date and he's got it, they're near like a fountain or something like that. He's like, I've always been attracted to trash, and you're like a cut of like prime rib, or like a better cut or whatever.
Right.
And she's like, oh, are you talking about food, or are you talking about me? And he's like, mostly you. And she finds that endearing. And I'm like, man, fucking hold on to this chick. And indeed, his friends are like, for the love of God, because they end up going to a baseball game and they get a booth. Like for free. It's just like, hey, does everyone want to go to a game? And they're like, don't fuck this up, Bill. I feel like his friends could have looked out for him more.
Yeah.
Anyways,
it's a Texas Rangers game.
Yeah. Yeah. And wouldn't you know it, at this fancy gala thing that they're, Lenore is there. And it's like every time she sees him succeeding, she comes back into his life. Like she's attracted to him when he actually has his shit together, just to like ruin his life like a little bit more. And indeed, there's this trashy blonde like chick, and he faints, and he has to wake up and awkwardly be like, oh, Governor Richards. Weird that he calls the person he's dating Governor Richards, but I thought it was funny. Lenore, Governor Richards. And so she's immediately doesn't like Lenore, as I immediately fucking do not like Lenore.
I gotta be honest, I was annoyed watching this at this point because you have a good thing going with a like smart.
Didn't have to pretend to be smart.
A smart lady who like is treating you well, is doing like really nice things for you.
And as a bonus, it's not required, but as a bonus, probably has money and has connections.
Yeah.
As a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and is respectable. And
this really like sweet and smart and like intelligent woman is
actually
like,
likes him.
Actually likes you and is like good for you in every conceivable way. And then immediately, as soon as your whore of an ex-wife shows up.
And indeed, like, watch the show. Like, this is accurate. Accurate description.
Shows up. You're immediately, like, just ready to, like, throw that aside because, like, oh, I could stick my dick in that again. And I'm like,
and indeed, she plays him.
What is wrong with you, man?
And that's why I wish his friends, again, he fucked it up himself. He's an adult, right?
Yeah.
But I wish his friends, like, stepped in and were like, get the fuck out of here. Get out of here.
He's an adult, but like he's acting like a stupid ass teenager in this episode.
Right. And indeed, he ends up sneaking away when he snapped at her because he's like, oh, I'm going to go and get to the concession stand and get a hot dog. And she's like, oh, I'll come with you. And he's like, can a man get a dog alone? And I'm like, how fucking dare you?
Yeah, that was weird.
Don't. And what does he do? He doesn't go off to meet Lenore. He goes off to like
call her on a payphone.
On a payphone. What are you wearing? Oh, that's a lot of clothes.
That's like, a lot of clothes.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. Everyone on the man. Even the smart people on the show are stupid in some ways. But he's like, anyways, so I'll cut your hair up because he's like a barber. He was a barber in the army, by the way. He never actually saw like active duty. I don't know if you caught that.
No, yeah. I didn't pick up on that. But
yeah, he was just
hilarious.
The army barber. Yeah. She's like,
that man you served wanted- our country, damn it.
And well, he certainly plays it up. And I think it was only like a few years too. Like it's not like he's spent his whole life in the army.
It's but ironic no. too because
he spent bald. A long time. I think
he's bald. Look at his hairline.
I think there's some humor involved in there. The best barber I ever had, and Cody, I know you're listening to this, is a huge jacked bro, like just fucking 100 pounds of like muscle on top of like his frame. Super like fucking tight shirt, super hardcore dude. Really great, is really intimidating to talk to, right? But god damn it, he was so fucking good. And he would wear a baseball cap because his hair was like going. So appearances can be deceiving. I stopped going to him, though, because I didn't want him to make fun of me and guilt trip me into cutting my long, long hair on the top. I was afraid. I was like, I can't go see him. Also, we just shave the sides myself. So Bill might be actually very, very good at his craft. We'll never know because I don't think he actually cuts a lot of hair, which is weird. Because Luann is going to school for hairdressing, but she has a natural talent for mechanics. The show doesn't go anywhere with that twist. I wish it did. Mm-hmm. Just kind of treats her like the dumb, stupid, like kind of like a bimbo. But it started off with her as an arc on the TV show of being like a wizard with cars. And all the people like Hank and his buddies will like stand in front of the truck and they'll be like, I think it's the thermostat. And then he'll sip a beer. And then Dale will be like, No, it's the solenoid. And then like Lenore will be like, oh no, it's just like this. And like reach in and like fix something for them. We'll be like, oh, Hank, I fixed the blah, blah, blah. And like, they're all just like, oh, well, next time ask me. So she actually knows more, but the show squandered that. It never like put her in like, I haven't watched the whole thing. So maybe it fixed it at the end. But for a lot of King of the Hill, it kind of just turned her into a dumb bimbo. But anyways, what's the there's two plots going on. Fucking Bill ruins his relationship because he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I've never done the juggling two girlfriends thing. And he's like, Governor Richards is like, Bill, you could have told me that you wanted to go and like call Lenore. And he's all like, oh, well, I don't suppose we're still together, huh? And she's like, oh, God, no. But she's nice like about it. She just doesn't have time to fuck around and find out. Like she's like what? 50? 60?
60 right? Something, yeah.
Yeah, and she's just like, "No. Take care, Bill." And she tried to like sabotage their relationship before that because she like has the key to his house and like lets herself in and something like that. But anyway, back at their place, they have all the neighbors and everything. And Hank, back to the propane versus charcoal storyline. They're like, oh, who's this party for? And they're like, oh, it's for Bill. But Hank has an ulterior motive. And he's like, no, I don't want to be controlling my wife. And so why don't you tell me what? Here, I've cooked some burgers on charcoal and some on propane. So what'll it be? Will you choose a charcoal? Which do you love more, charcoal or me? And I actually fucking laughed at that so much. But I'm also like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, you. Yeah. And charcoal then she like completely indulges him. And like she takes a bite of each and then and then throws away the like charcoal burgers and was
all
like,
of them. She goes and picks them all up. Yeah.
Oh, it's no contest. The propane is better. And I'm like, don't encourage him.
Don't. Right. And if your marriage is based on him loving propane, maybe
one very stupid thing to be hung up upon.
What a baby. His identity is being like grilling with propane and selling propane.
Okay, so I work for a grocery store. That would be like me being angry about my partner shopping at fucking Save On Foods.
You'd be like, wow, you shop at Save On Foods and I work at a different I work at Thrifty Foods. This isn't gonna like. I'm sorry, but
You need to choose. You need to choose Save On, or you need to choose me. Like, no, that's fucking. And I idiotic. Understand
it's supposed to be fun. Like, it's a car. It's no real person. But the thing is, up to the point, every once in a while, we are reminded that the people in the show are fucking stupid. That's what I mean. And Bobby's like, you lied to Dad, Mom. And she's like, no, I just lied to one of my senses. I have the other four anyway. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay. And then he's like, oh, thank God. And he goes and he picks up I don't even know if he doused the flames. He goes and
he picks did up not.
The entire little grill. Puts it in a garbage can, takes the lid, puts it on the top, and he's like, oh, thank God. Well, I'm going to go and like bring this to the dump right now. What a fuck. So fucking.
Yeah. Loud.
Anyways, there's some small amount of justice because Lenore shows up late and she's like, oh, whose party is it? And he's like, oh, it's my birthday. And she's like, oh, hey, I forgot about it. Oh, happy birthday. I didn't get you anything. And she just goes off to drink. And they flirt a little bit, and she sits on his lap, knowing that she like beat like another woman. And he's like, I broke up with Governor Richards for you. And she's like, wow, you broke up with Governor Richards to be with me. That's kind of like I broke up with Governor Richards.
Will you marry me?
And she's like, oh, I'm not really the marriage type, sweetheart.
But we're already married.
And she's like, actually, I forged your signature.
On the divorce papers.
And he's such a little bitch. And we were reminded he's a pushover when it comes to women. Because she's like, oh, I printed out your first name in cursive and your last name printed in all caps, just like you did. And she's like, he's like, you always knew me so well.
I hate this just guy.
I hate them both. And I'm like, grow a fucking spine, dude. And Governor Richards shows up and she's all like, oh, I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Blah, blah, blah. And he realizes that he's getting treated badly by Lenore.
Governor Richards is a fine woman and he does not deserve her.
No. There. We fucking said, look how invested we are in this character that's only in this one episode. Right? She is, god damn it. And she doesn't need to show up. She doesn't need to be this nice to him, but she shows up and seeing that Lenore's a bitch. Like just a fucking wretched, trashy bitch. And she's like, hey, can you give me some directions to like whatever conference like she's going to? And he's all like, oh yeah, sure. And she's like, oh, why don't you get in and tell my driver? And I like this power move, this kind of like, hey, bitch, by the way. And he does get in. And he's like, oh, go left. And then you lift the chain and then you take a shortcut. And she doesn't actually like care.
Yeah.
And she starts bitching at him and going crazy, showing her real colors. Lenore, get out of here right now. You're not allowed to see your ex. What the fuck? You just told me that we were getting married, which she just said that they weren't, but yes. She's saying that in front of Governor Richards. And she encourages him to do something or something like that. And she pushes like the window down and he's moaning her, which I found like actually like pretty funny. And she gets super pissed and like runs off. And he's all like, oh, I don't suppose that like we're back together, are we? And she's like, no, Bill, we're not back together, but something like I'm proud of you, like that you actually did that for yourself.
There was a bit back like when Bill was on the payphone with Lenore where completely lost my train of thought.
Was it at his house or was it at the party?
No, it was when they were at the baseball game. There's a bit where we find out that Governor Richards actually knew that Bill wasn't the one who mooned her, that it was actually Hank.
Right. And she was all like,
I respect a man who can take a fall for one of his buddies.
Because somebody, I can't remember, it was all like, oh, well, I don't even know what you see in me. He's being not self-deprecating, but like, my brain's going too. He's being like unconfident, right? And he's being unconfident. And she's all like, oh, well, I respect a man who takes a fall for like one of their friends, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, wait, you knew it was me? And it was like, oh, I always knew. She had security everywhere. And,
right.
Right. And that's what attracted me to you is that I respect a man who takes a fall for her friends. Man, this lady could see the best in him. And like you had said, it was like, you know what? She is too good. Good for you, sir.
She is. Governor Richards is absolutely too good for this dude.
Yeah. And I feel like many men can attest that there are many a trashy woman that they keep going back to, that may and trashy men that women keep going back to, or men and women keep going back to, that fill the role of Lenore. And well, at least we end on a good note. He was able to say no to Lenore and give her the old moon. Wasn't enough to keep Governor Richards, though. And sadly, but probably for the best.
Yep.
And there you have it. We just watched a random episode of The King of the Hill. Christopher Siege, would you tune in next week?
I am very torn on that front because I don't know, honestly. This is a hard one. I can't definitively say. There were things that I did like about the show. I liked the writing.
Yeah.
But I didn't. But the problem is I didn't like most of the characters in the show. I liked Governor Richards, but she was a guest star.
Uh-huh. And everyone else is very stupid.
Everyone else is a fucking idiot in this episode. So,
or they're enabling.
Or they're enabling, like like Hank's wife.
I did like how sweet the relationship was, though.
I gotta say no, honestly.
It's the rug pull for me. Things were going so well. It was actually kind of sweet. And then it's frustrating to see him ruin that.
Yeah, someone like self-sabotage like so badly and in such a like
insecure, like, was the word,
empty-headed manner.
Yeah, for what? Like, so he can bang his ex-wife once? Oh man, just
so he could just bang the ex-wife again, who he's already banged probably like 1,000 times in the past.
Who always tends to show up and ruin his life.
And who has presumably just been horrendous for him.
Yep. And so that was frustrating for me.
Me too.
Seeing like how it was coming about. So the first half, I was like, oh, this is funny. They're like secretly eating like charcoal burgers without Hank knowing. Right. And then at the end, like Bill just like sabotaging his own like really sweet relationship. And it's like that whole like, I don't know, like there's a lot of good, but like to it. That whole I don't know is my exact memory of King of the Hill, where I was like,
right.
I like the writing. It's good, but like the episodes where there's a win for the characters or the characters do something smart are so few and far between. It's almost frustrating. And I don't know if I can handle that level of like continuous stupidity.
I also was really bothered by the whole like charcoal barbecue thing, honestly. Well, I will say, like, it's almost like objectively better that like stuff cooked on a charcoal.
Well, indeed, and the show implies that
like tastes better. It has more flavor to it. But like, I actually don't like his family lying to Hank just to make him feel better.
Yeah, that
I don't know. I just something about that like really bugs me. And
yeah,
the whole thing with with Bill and Governor Richards, like their romance was actually like really sweet, and he like completely throws it away to like in the hopes, like
because he already banged.
Yeah, just in the hopes that he might hook up with his like slutty ex-wife. Like, I don't know. Like it was just annoying.
Yeah. Seeing characters lose all the time or do stupid things is a hard note to end the episode on. Everybody loses at the end.
So I can appreciate
Hank's ego.
That the writing in this
series is quite smart, but like watching this randomly, I'm like, I was more frustrated than anything at the end. I'm like,
I watched it with my partner and she's like, that's just frustrating.
Yeah. I'm like, no, so, okay. So my definitive answer is no, I would not tune in next week based on this episode.
And again, even though I've seen a lot of this, just based on this one, I can't tune in next week either. Again, just this one was fun to talk about with you. We both really liked the governor. We thought all the jokes were like funny, but like those frustrating like parts, we can't do. And I can get past I'll get rid of this charcoal right away. Like I can get past that because that's so stupid that it's unbelievable. But like the very believable relationship that Bill ruined for me is so frustrating that it's hard for me to say I would tune in next week.
Right.
So just given this one, no, that's a no from both of us.
And well, there it is. That was episode 83 of the Lasercomb podcast. Best way to support the show is to go to patreon.com/lasercomb, LAZORCOMB, where starting at the $5 tier, you get access to a weekly-ish bonus Patreon exclusive podcast called the Super Lasercomb Patreon Super Show. You also get access to commentary tracks, whole bunch of other goodies, including the ability to pick a show for us to review a random episode of whatever on this very podcast. So if you want to get in on that, go to patreon.com/lasercomb. Follow us on social. Yeah. Join our Discord, link in the description as always. Best way to connect with us. I've had a few people reach out to me on Instagram recently.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You've shared a couple messages.
Yeah.
You've had.
Yeah, it's been odd. I'm like, huh.
A couple new listeners have reached out.
Yeah. So you can follow me on Instagram at Christopher Siege. It's basically the only social media site that I still like have any use for at this point. And even it, I'm kind of like teetering on the border of,
it's connected to Threads too, but like Threads is just kind of like a word somehow like includes Instagram, but is also not as good. Kind of. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't posted on Instagram in like 5 years.
Threads was hype for a hot minute. And
the hottest of minutes,
literally like a week.
Yeah, Blue Back Sky in, was like the biggest ad disappointing, like what is it called, like edging experiment ever, or like ruined O, like ever, where everyone's like, oh man, I can't wait to get on that, and then you get on it and you're like, oh,
it's just this crickets. Is
more, it's like less going on here than Threads. Cool,
which is saying something.
Yeah.
Anyway, follow me on Instagram at Christopher Siege, or again, as I mentioned, join the Discord, link in the description. We will be back, not next week, because I've got a wackadoo work schedule coming up.
Oh, it's wackadoo.
It is wackadoo. But we will be back week after next with episode 84 of the Lasercomb podcast, where we're going to be talking about Trailer Park Boys.
Oh yeah.
Now to find out which episode of Trailer Park Boys we're going to watch, do you want to include the entire run, or do you want to just include the original, like, first run? Because the show was off the air for almost a decade.
Yeah. I'm thinking the, what do you think? I'm thinking the original run. I think the
original run.
Yeah?
Yeah. The OG.
Yeah, let's do the OG. Yeah, we're not going to include when Netflix picked it back up. Not that it's not good. We're not going to include the movies or anything like that. I haven't seen any of the Netflix. But we're just going to do the OG run.
Okay, so we're hitting screen share and hitting share. So the original run, it looks like, had 55 episodes. So going to the old trusty random number generator, one episode between 1 and 55, and here we go. And where it stops on a rum and coke. 53.
Okay. 53, huh?
Very late in the series. That is season 7, episode 8. Let Liquor Do the Thinking. Randy and Mr. Leahy get back together with the help of the liquor. Randy tries to break off his engagement to Lucy. Meanwhile, the news media is circulating a sketch of the suspect wanted, apparently by the FBI, for stealing the Swazi Express. And it looks a lot like Bubbles.
Huh. The Swazi Express, huh? All right.
All right. Well, we'll be back next time with that. And until then, I've been The Siege, one of your hosts.
And I'm Neo Cal, your other host.
Thanks for listening. We will propane you next time.
And propane accessories you next time as well.